the show tonight, coming live on the show. Hope y'all had a great weekend, watched some great football, college football, pro football, more importantly, the Astros. They still in it. But we here tonight, just we finna run with it for a few minutes. Thank y'all for coming aboard, as always. I see my listeners. Thank y'all. It took us a second to get in. Y'all already know the routine. If y'all want to say something, just tap. I get you in, say something, or just listen, whatever. I appreciate you being here. Tonight, got special guests for the night. Normally, I do musicians every Tuesday. I spotlight musicians every Tuesday. But tonight, just because I'm honored to have this guy. He's a busy cat, you know. Took time out of his schedule and had his valet park the Bentley so he could come on the show and kick it with his boy tonight. None other, well, should I say, let me introduce the son and present the others. An excellent guitarist, well-known, world-renowned, Mr. Kerry Wilkins. What's up, bro?
What's going on? What's going on? What's happening?
Oh, not a whole lot, man. Let me start out first by just saying that I appreciate you taking time out to come aboard, man, and chop it up with your boy for a few minutes, man.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah, man. I might as well, man. Just, you know, I'm checking out the show and hey.
Now, I know you finna hit me.
I'm finna do what now?
I know you finna hit me. You always get me. My audio ain't perfect, man, but do you like my intro, though?
Well, no, it's cool. I can hear. You know?
Yeah, you fix that audio, man.
I ain't gonna jump on you for that, man. It is what it is, man.
Yeah, it's a groove, though, man.
It is what it is, so.
Yeah, I needed an intro, man. I had one. You know, actually, I was telling my boy that I was real skeptical about coming back live on the air after being off for so many years because I kind of felt like Arsenio Hall to a certain degree. When my show was on back in the day, it was hot. So it was number one 2 years straight. And then I let it go and, you know, start doing other things, whatever. Now, you know, we back. I don't want to be like the return of Arsenio and flop like
right,
he did.
Right.
So,
yeah,
and
yeah.
I tell people this. Number one, man, I always feel like, even when his show was number one, you know, with black folk, yeah, of course, he wasn't never number one in the ratings, but black folks knew at 10 o'clock where to go put their TV. So, but to me, he always had the worst band ever on late night TV. That band sucked,
picked the worst
date. No, his band was just horrible. He sucked.
Oh,
he was on five nights a week. But that band sucked. Yeah, that band sucked. The first go-around,
oh, man, that's how you
and
feel
it was worse
band?
The second go-around. Yeah, you know, in your opinion, who had the best late night band?
Man, I really don't do a lot of late night TV, man. I don't know, brother. I really...
Even if you didn't watch
really
late
don't.
Night,
David
Letterman probably had the best with Paul Schaefer. In the late night band, you know. But that was some shows that didn't make it that still had a better band, way better Arsenio. I mean, you had Magic Johnson. Sheila E. was his MD. She had a killer band. Then you had, you know, of course, Jay Leno brought Rapper Marcellus and, you know, ran that for a long time, and then Kevin Eubanks. But then you also had the short-lived show Vibe with Greg Fillingham was the MD and had some hard hitters, comedians, and all them. There's been some great late night bands, so it ain't like the talent wasn't there. The one of the best, even over Paul Schaefer, if you ask me. Byron Allen had a late night show. He had Jill Albright, Freddie Washington, you know, and Bobby Lyle. I mean, it was a killer band. You know, Patrice Rushen.
Yeah.
It was Bobby Lyle first and Patrice Rushen. So, I mean, there were musicians out there, but Arsenio just sucked, you know, in my opinion, as far as his late night band, the Posse. They was horrible. But anyway, that's them. That was the end. This now. Welcome to the show. Tell the people a little bit about Kerry, who Kerry is, and what actually put a guitar in Kerry's hand.
Who I am and say that last part again.
And
what put the guitar in Kerry's hand?
What put the guitar in your hand?
What put the guitar in my hand? When I was I started when I was 12 years old. You know, my dad had a lot of music. My brother had a lot of music. You know, it's a combination of jazz and rock. My brother would buy all these rock albums. You know, when we were younger, we had Black Light, Jimi Hendrix Black Light posters in our room. And, you know, my dad had a lot of old Santana tapes. A lot of Ivy Brothers tapes. You know, my dad would get the 8-track, my brother would get the album. And I just got, couldn't stop listening to him, man. I just go play him over and over and over. And lots of Stevie Wonder, too. Lots of Stevie Wonder. My dad would buy, you know, my dad would buy a lot of the jazz, like Herbie Hancock and any instrumental music. He just loved it. So, but actually put the guitar in my hand was listening to mainly two albums, Just 3+3 and Live It Up, those two albums. So that was before the Heat Is On came out. So the Heat Is On came out the same year I started playing, but I actually started playing in January of 1975. And I just took lessons. My mom said, and it wasn't really my decision, to be honest with you. It was my mom's decision.
Really?
Mom said, I'm going to get you some guitar lessons. Yeah, my mom said, I'm going to get you some guitar lessons. I got, you know, I'm going to hook you up. I'm like, okay, cool. So, you know, I learned from there. I just took lessons from H&H Music. As you do H&H Music, you know enough where Marlon is. I had to go there every Saturday afternoon and get my lesson.
But you had to practice in between.
Right, exactly. And that's what I did. I practiced the lesson that I was taught because I had to, you know, it was like a test. I had to make sure I know it when I go back, you know, go back the following week. So, and sometimes I didn't do so well. I'm trying to, and my mom, I got on my case and I did do that well. So, I made sure I stuck with it, man. I just stuck with it. But what I would do is I would practice my lessons, and I would practice the stuff I was hearing around the house too.
Yeah.
You know, because I figured my instructor wasn't gonna really teach me that stuff because, you know, it probably wasn't the type of stuff that they were listening to. But still, I had to learn, you know, the guitar. So I applied what I knew. Some of the information that I knew to the stuff that I was hearing, you know, it didn't always fit, but at the time, that's what I was hearing. But it worked out, you know. I stuck with it, you know. I figured like I wasn't a posse or anything, but I stuck with it. And plus, there was a band across the street where I was living.
Yeah,
it was a little band. These old guys would get together and practice and whatever. So I go across the street and practice, and they found out I was learning how to play guitar. So they let me practice with them. They wouldn't let me gig with them. I was too young.
Hmm.
They they'll definitely let me practice with them.
Cool.
But actually,
and something kicked in, right? No, I'm saying something kicked in that made you say, hey, I'm going to keep holding this guitar and keep playing and keep practicing.
I'm trying to understand what you're saying, but what I'm going to have to do is these earpieces ain't loud enough, and I'm trying to catch it online, catch the site online. I'm going to have to switch earpieces right quick, brother.
That's cool. Can you hear me, though? Am I clear?
Well, I can barely hear you, but I need to hear you a little louder, so I need to switch.
Okay.
This is on my end, so I need to switch earpieces right quick.
Okay. All right, cool.
Give me just a second.
All right. See, when we're working on shows and things, it's always just ironing out the kinks, you know. Say I'm bringing it back, getting the kinks ironed out. Oh, that's part of the program. But it makes for a better show in the long run. Yeah. On the job training, trial and error. It works. Might as well go ahead and Also, FYI, heads up. We got a lineup for this month. I got coming in. Ooh, I got some hitters coming in. And Lloyd Hughes, now band leader, musician. Lloyd Hughes. We got Kyle Turner. We got the one and only voice of the airwaves, the coldest voice, female voice of the airwaves, Miss Donna Franklin coming in. I have my old schoolmate, classmate, ex-partner in crime, the one and only, Houston's only singing DJ, Dana Jackson. Got a lineup of musicians. Y'all can go back and check out the episode with the Merlot of music, Ronnie Coleman. We had an excellent time chatting on the show. Plenty more. We got plenty more, man. We getting ready to jump with this. And then Wednesdays is dedicated to comedy. So the comedians that are coming aboard. And my boy Dave Lawson, Adam Bob, Terry Groves, plenty. Got some surprises I ain't going to throw out. He's at the kitchen. But we rolling. Trying to see if we can get Kerry back up. Kerry, you back? Nah, still out. So just some things, man, we working on that's going to have a show bumping. Like I said, tonight is just a test, and we see if I can get him back. I think I got him back. Kerry.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't know what happened.
Yeah,
Boyd told me it was gone, but it still had your number up. So, all right, we back in. Now, the question I was asking, can you hear me now?
Well,
can you hear me better now?
For a minute, yeah.
Okay. Okay, good. The question I had asked you, you said you're going to practice on Saturdays, you're working out with the band across the street and all that, but there's always a time where a musician will say, this is what I want to do. When did that time come?
I've always knew this is what I wanted to do. You know, I pretty much knew that, I guess, after I got out of stage band and I started playing.
And where did you go to school?
You know, I went to, well, I graduated out of Forest Brook High School.
Okay.
Forest Brook. And after that, you know, I played with this one band. You know, I'd have to give them shout outs because we didn't do a lot of gigs. You know, we did a lot of stuff, you know, basically for free. But it was just the experience of playing out live and getting out in front of people. You know, and that was always fun. You know, back then stuff was fun. You know, when you were a teenager and all that stuff, being worried about, really money and stuff. But then again, I started doing, hooked up with one particular band that started doing out of small little town, country town gigs. And we do a couple in town, but we didn't do many. So I really didn't know, still really didn't know the gigging aspect of everything. And the problem with that particular band is they wanted us, you know, we wanted to have to dress up in a certain uniform, which I hated, and I'd rather not even mention. But I hated. I said, man, I'm going to leave this. I can't. And they just begged me, literally begged me to play in the band. And that's how, you know, you look back then how bands were, man. They would hear me play, and they didn't want me playing their band.
Yeah.
So it was like folks would get mad because if I turn them down, I mean, they would get mad at each other because I, you know, if I didn't like the way that the rest of the band was going, I was like, nah, I can't do this. I really can't do this. So, but I was always playing in something. You know, I did a stand up with a Tejano band, and this is all before Kyle came up. This is all before
so
Kyle.
So let me ask you this.
I knew Kyle. Go ahead.
Let me ask you this. Me knowing you, me seeing you play around town, all this stuff, there's a certain aspect of your gift. Because it's a gift, man. Everybody that play guitar, I know Cat's been playing since the 80s, you know, late 70s, 80s, whatever, and they still, it's just not there. You have it, okay? Like you said, guys like Kyle coming up, excellent musicians, to where they say, I want this dude in my band, you know, this, that, and other. What is it that makes you such a student of what you hear and then applying it to that act?
Well, what I've learned how to do is develop my ear. You know, I guess, you know, home ear training or whatever. I didn't know what I was actually doing. I was knowing as I was listening to stuff over and over and over and over and over and over and over, a billion times. So that is basically, you want to call it ear training. I guess you can call it that, but that's basically what I was doing. I figured like that's the only way I'd learn, you know. So I can basically say about
you mentioned two albums by the same group. So what I'm taking from that's your biggest influence. The Isley Brothers, 3+3. You said living it up. So, listening to Ernie Isley on Who's That Lady, Summer Breeze, you know, it was a different style of So Long on Live It Up. It just, me not being a guitar player, you know the difference in the sound from 3+3 to Living It Up. Let me ask you, what was it that made you just stick with Ernie Isley, like, you know, I got to get this? Because you got it, bro. You got it.
Well, it wasn't just Ernie. I would, Ernie, you know, of course I listened to him more, but I still have to add Jimi Hendrix because they played the same type of guitar. And that particular guitar was the one I was the most fascinated in. You know, and it was before I started playing guitar. Fender Stratocaster.
And that guitar was. Okay. Now, what's the difference between
Fender Strat?
A Stratocaster, a Strat, as they say, a Strat and a Teller.
Well, if you look at them both, one, the Telecaster is a single cutaway guitar, meaning if you look at the body of the guitar, if you look at the top of the guitar, then look at the bottom, how it's cut away, so your fingers can get up to the bottom of the neck, and you need where the neck ends to play. You play some of your solos at. But it has one cutaway, and the top part isn't cutaway. The Stratocaster has two cutaways, and the Stratocaster, it just looked more menacing to me than the Telecaster. You know, Stratocaster, has three pickups, what's called electronics, three pickups. The Telecaster has two. They're both made by Fender, a company called Fender. The Telecaster has been around way long. Well, I wouldn't say way longer, since the actual late 40s. And the Stratocaster has been in existence since 1954. Same body style. Those exact same body styles have been around that long. So,
Stratocaster was the one. But that's the one that Hendrix, Jimi Hendrix, had gotten a hold of and made it do what he wanted to do, you know, with what he used with it. You know, because wasn't nobody using the Stratocaster like Jimi Hendrix was. Nobody was killing on the Stratocaster back then like Jimi Hendrix was. So, and actually they connect. Jimi Hendrix and the Isley Brothers actually connect because Jimi Hendrix used to play with the Isley Brothers.
He lived in the house with them.
He lived in the house with them when he was playing with them.
Lived in the house with them, yeah.
So, and actually, you know, Ernie would always tell this story because Ernie wasn't playing guitar then. His first instrument was drums, and he wasn't playing guitar at the time. But he had always listened. He was always listening to Jimmy. He was always listening because Jimmy always, would always practice. And Ernie would always be listening to him. So I guess when Ernie started playing guitar, I guess he just remembered those references that Jimmy laid down, even though Jimmy did not actually teach him guitar. You know,
man.
Once Ernie started playing lead, he said, "Mister, he really started playing lead." You know, he played a lot of rhythm and acoustic guitar. You know, but he really didn't start playing lead until like 1970. But
yeah.
When he started, he took off. It took off because I guess.
And this is what I'm getting ready to ask you.
Chris.
Okay, because I'm a big Isley fan, and I was a fan. I listened to the album back in the day. So, I mean, I've heard you play several tunes. Now, I'm not talking about his solo project. I got a feeling he was gonna jump in that high wire, but.
Mm-hmm.
Of all his solos with the Isley Brothers, which song do you really think he went off the hardest on?
He went off the hardest on?
Yeah, the one that he just really laid down on.
I would say on record. The song he went off the hardest. Actually, there's a live album. It went pretty hard on. Before 3+3. This was before 3+3. Before Ernie, Chris, and Marvin actually joined with Ronnie O'Kelly and Rudolph and formed 3+3. Because they was playing, but they was actually recording with their older brothers starting in 1969. But
exactly.
There's this live album they put out called the Isley Brothers Live. It came out in 73. It was right before 3+3. And I said, you got to put Ernie in the group. That's Ernie went off. But that's a live record. Ernie really went off. Now that just let you know who Ernie Isley was. But that live album didn't do all that well. So 3+3, but actually, the recording that really put him out was on a song called "Hope You Feel Better Love"
I really didn't think that was. I really didn't think you was gonna say that, but you took the word right out of my mouth. That
hope you feel better love, bro.
On "Hope You Feel
hope
Better,"
you feel better
like,
love,
wow. man.
Hope you feel better love, bro. Ernie,
I really think an engineer went in there and threw some water on him and say, "Cool down, bro." Oh, man!
Hope you feel better, love, bro. Man,
see,
that's
I'm
one
a
of my top Ernie Isley guitar solos. And I'm gonna tell you something, man. My dad, you know, my brother had bought that album. I think it was like in May of '75. My dad had bought a new car. My dad had bought But one of them big Buick Deuce quarters, one of them long Deuce quarters coupes, limited. And he bought that 8-track. He had that 8-track tape, and I didn't know it, right? So one Saturday morning, I guess I went outside, and I'm hearing all this guitar. I'm like, "Ooh, who is this?" Then I go sit in the car. There was the Isley Brothers. He was on. It's a solo. "Hope You Feel Better Love." I'm like, "Oh my god!"
man. And prior to that,
on the Living Up album, the tunes he went off on, but check out Midnight Sky. Midnight Sky was kind of confusing because he laid down two solos at the same, well, not the, he recorded two separate solos on that song. You know, he put out like four tracks.
Yeah.
He recorded like two separate guitar solos in the Midnight Sky. And Ain't I Been Good to You, the last cut on that album, where it slows down.
Yeah.
And him and Ronnie started answering each other. That was nice. So I was getting off on that.
Well,
hope you feel better, love.
Man, I didn't know if you was going to say that, man, but I was like, dude, that one. And then it's kind of like, you know how you see a dude walk up on the basketball court, whatever, and guys don't know nothing about him. He might be in town from the country or something with his cousin. Cousin can't ball. And so they misjudge him, and he just kill and then just walk out. Everybody like, damn. It's like when he finished that solo and just go into that little riff, things and things and things, it's like, now top that. Is it, you know? It's like, God,
yeah.
No. And I played drums, so I didn't have a drum set in the day. I had two lunch kits and some cartons.
I found out later,
but as a kid, you know, I didn't know. It was like,
right.
Wow.
Right, you know, we didn't know this.
Yeah.
You just know that
you know, you get older. You just listening. But yeah, that was, man. And
yeah,
here's
I
my
know
second
that I thought
one,
it out.
Ballad of a Fallen Soldier.
Ballad of a Fallen Soldier? That was a good
solo.
That was a good solo in a lot of ways. That was a good because y'all get the tempo of the song, and he kind of played something. I can't say cut time and double. You know, played some licks in double time. So you break. You know, so yeah, that was a good solo. It wasn't long.
Yeah.
But I hate. But no. I hate it when I just when the song ends and he's still soloing. So there are things like. When they had to cut the song,
and they
fading the songs, and he's still playing. You know, that's what I hated. You see, which didn't happen with Hope You Feel Better Love. It didn't happen with Who Loves You Better. That was a good solo, too. Climbing Up the Ladder is another one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, just the whole song. The whole song was a straight up rocket. And believe it or not, you know, man, I had some medical issues and, you know, just having to learn how to stand up, how to walk, man, all that again.
Back then?
A couple of years ago. And, when I kissed death. So, man, it's like, you know, during my therapy, I had to, you know, figure out a way to motivate myself to get up because it's like, you know, man, you stand up and your legs get to wobbling, you ain't got no strength no more. They want you to do exercises. So I was like, hey, bring my Bluetooth in the gym. So they were bringing my Bluetooth in the therapy room. The only way I'm going to do this, man, I gotta have some music. And I would play Climbing Up the Ladder. And they just looking like, what the hell is he over there? Man, I need something to motivate me. I'm listening to the words, the groove, everything, you know. And because I gotta get this. But that was one of my push tunes, man. That's one of my push tunes. But okay, now if you got to name five, you already named Ernie, you named Hendrix. You got three more. Guitars that influence kids.
Okay. I would say Carlos Santana. Can't forget about Carlos. He's done some stuff. He's really done some stuff, man. And he's a bad boy. I would say, you know, because I listen to thousands of guitar players. But
yeah,
Carlos, I would say, I want to say George Benson. I just like to listen to him play, not try to learn anything that he do. You know,
yeah.
Like I said, he, you know, so out of jazz cats, man, he's a legend.
He is the legend.
He's a straight legend. Yeah. Let's see who else. Are you Eddie Hazel, Funkadelic?
Okay. Man, you know what? I posted the other day, man. It came up on my timeline when I had to do this with the guys to come out for your birthday, and you did Maggie Rain. But I didn't get to post it. I let midnight hit, and it disappeared. I don't know how to go back and find that stuff, but yeah.
Oh yeah, that's a fun tune to play. I think it. What I think with the unit band, I think it bores them because they play the same old changes.
Yeah.
It's nothing. It doesn't really move. The only thing that's moving is the guitar solo. So
yeah.
I guess they do a lot. They do some sort of a breakdown. But yeah, it's based off the that Eddie Hazel solo, and I've read that when they recorded that tune, George Clinton told Eddie Hazel, play like your mama just died.
Well, hey, he did too.
This is back in 1971. You know they were. That was 50 years ago. Matt Gray, you was 50 years old.
Yeah, man.
So man. You know, back then in the studio, man, you know they were all getting all high. But you know they were all high.
Oh yeah. I think YouTube clips of you know, that Tales from the Bus or whatever. When they talk about James Brown and all that, and I don't know if you ever seen that one. Man,
yeah,
when Boosie Collins
kind
of talking about
it.
That.
Rick. Man,
when you see the one where he say the neck of the bass turned into a snake, and he dropped the bass
and ran off
stage.
Talk about with Boosie. Yeah. Boosie to Heron.
Yeah,
Boosie
man.
Boosie to Heron for the first time. He said that neck was turned into a snake, and he said got scared and threw that bass down on stage.
Yeah, James Brown yelling at him over in the corner. Get his ass out of here.
Yeah, man, that was funny, man.
That is hilarious. And you got one more guitarist, man. Because who's going to get that fifth star?
One more?
You got one more. That's, you got Ernie? Nah, you said Ernie. You said Ernie, Jimmy. You said you got another Ernie and George Benson. So that's four. You got one more.
No, you missed Carlos Santana. You missed Carlos Santana, bro.
Oh, Carlos Santana. Okay. So, man.
You can't get about Carlos, man. My dad had a lot of Santana, man, coming up. Had the first. No, my dad had every Santana album coming. Had every one from the first record. He had Amigos, Moonflower. I think he stopped at the Moonflower.
Okay.
To me, those were his best aggressive tones back in the mid-70s. So, I was into them tones, man. And that was where he uses Echoplexes and. You know, he didn't play Stratocaster. You know, he played Gibson.
Played Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
Man, okay.
He was playing Gibson. So, go ahead.
Okay, so we named the top five. So, there's got to be at least two honorable mentions in there.
Honorable mentions?
Yeah, two honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions. On guitar. That I just like listening to and never really was influenced by.
Then I'm going to give you my two.
Talking about when I was a kid.
back then or now?
No. I mean, you can even say now. Just, you know.
Yeah,
just
well, if you said me now, man. If you said now, man, it'll be this. We'll be we go all night.
I know.
Honorable mention.
Yeah. Now, if I gotta just go ahead and leave it back to back in the day, then I do that. But it's like, let's say up until 1999. Slide 99? Two honorable mentions in there. Yeah, between the 70s and 99, you get two honorable mentions to put in that.
Ooh, that still take a while. Prince, you got to put Prince in the mix. You got to put Prince in the mix.
Prince is honorable mention?
Prince is definitely honorable mention. You got to put Prince in the mix because what he brought to guitar, you know, he was a remarkable guitar player. He was a monster guitar player. You know, the thing that sold me on Prince was one song.
Which one?
That song was from his first album. It's called I'm Yours.
Okay.
That was sold me on Prince. Okay. That's way back in 1978. I'm like, Jesus, man, damn. This dude's going off.
Yeah. Yeah, for what, a 17-year-old?
I watched
this movie. They claim he was 18 in 78 or 77, whatever. But
they say he was 18.
But,
You know, it took something like they take years off your age to make it sound more attractive.
I watched Purple Rain.
But he was actually 19
on TV.
Years ago.
Yeah,
huh?
And I have to say, I watched Purple Rain the other night, and I said this before. I think I said it to you. In my opinion, that wasn't in the top five of his
Purple Rain,
greatest albums. Well, even the solo, in my opinion, it's a good solo. And we already know the story about you, with you playing Purple Rain. But I think it was more or less the commercialization of the movie.
Right.
You know, us in the movie, other than a shelf or Dolomite or the Mac and all that, is actually one of our music idols. Because that was way before the Jackson 5 or the Temptations miniseries, all that. And seeing that, but I mean, there were other songs on there that I really like more than Purple Rain, just being real. But I would take Sign of the Times, 1999, you know, Dirty Mind, all of them I put ahead of Purple Rain just because of the work. You know, not that was just commercialized to me. Like you said, you know, for you, you know, you can't miss me with Dirty Mind and Controversy, Around the World in a Day, which was, you know, people slept on that because it came behind Purple Rain. But, you know, he was remarkable and awesome. But, I mean, the groove on America, that drive, you know,
right.
Pocket on Pop Life, you know, the Syncopation on Tambourine. Come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And just the
you know,
and
to me, Prince always played drums a certain way.
Yeah.
He always had this one beat. If a lot of drummers listen to Prince's drumming and know that Prince played drums on it, and you can, if you hear it, you figure that's Prince on drums. Because he plays this one certain beat on damn near every song.
Yeah.
If you listen to Tambourine, you know, and he played, you know, of course he plays straight beats too. But.
Yeah. I love Tambourine, man.
I love Tambourine too.
And when I was in high school, it was actually two songs. that you had to know how to play. And when my first year, three. It's three songs you had to know how to play. If you couldn't play them, one of them, you wasn't going to get it. You could come close, but you wasn't going to get it. The other two, if you could get it, you was okay. And the first one was Cutie Pie. The second was Flirt. The second was Flirt. The third one was 777. But, like
ain't
I said, you wasn't going to get it. You wasn't going to get it.
You wasn't get
it. You know.
You wasn't going to get it.
Yeah, you wasn't going to get
that's
it.
That's a,
you know.
There's a story behind that. I just read up on the story behind 777, 1911.
And then, by the end of my sophomore year, there was another tune that came out. And it was like, okay, you can get by with not knowing 7-7 if you can play this. And that was Steve Aronson, Nobody Can Beat You But You. So that is that intro.
But that's a
intro.
A straight beat.
That kick. Remember? So if you could rock with that at a pep rally, you was all right.
Oh, okay.
Now the intro to the time, you know, the walk, you know, if you could learn that, yeah. But, you know, all that was Prince, you know.
Yeah.
It was Prince.
That was Mars Day on drums.
So, exactly. But it was, you know, yeah. So it's like, wow, okay. That was the thing. Now, I'm going to give you my two honorable mentions. You said Prince. I didn't have Prince in there, so, you know, I probably need to go kick my toe up against the bedpost. But my two honorable mentions, it's crazy. I was going to say Norman Brown and Stevie Ray.
Yeah, okay.
Because I can go with them any day, all day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. But, you know, and I always tell people, sometimes certain artists, you just have to put them in a class by themselves. They don't go in no countdown, top five or ten. I think that's pretty much where Prince is. You know, that's where Prince is. Because, like I say, just if you really listen to him and understand, like, you deep in the ear, I don't know how deep I am in the ear, but I hear certain things. Just the intro to Controversy and the drive. You know what I'm saying? And the drive, man. I listen to all that kind of stuff. You know. And then you like say how you come out of Ronnie Talk to Russia and bust into Let's Work. You know, that stuff I listen to and I'm like, you know, those are grooves. But yeah, everybody know, bro, when you play Purple Rain, you know, I'd have had partners that I ain't seen since high school bump into them in the club. And I'm like, man, I'm here checking out my boys. And they hit me, hey, man. Where that band gonna be at, man, with that dude? Man, he gonna play Paper Rain? I don't know, man. Go see. I don't know. Go see. You know?
Yeah.
And you told me
that's the correct
something
answer. You don't know. Go see.
Yeah. And people need to get out and support live music, man. What do you see? I know you were in Austin at one time. And
yeah.
What do you see between the music scene in Austin and the music scene in Houston?
Back then, the music scene in Austin back then, I'm talking about 30 years ago. It was a lot more robust.
It was a change.
You know, it was serious. A lot of people just moving there just for that. You know, this was back in the late 80s, 90s, and 6th Street had clubs that had live bands playing in every club. You can walk in, there's a live band playing. Walk to the next club, there's another live band playing. All kinds of music. You know, we were with Catfish Station. I mean, before we did some clubs around here too. Before we went to Austin, and a better opportunity came up, so I went on and moved there, and it was pretty good. It was really, really good. You know, the first year, but once it started bouncing around, it was like, you know, it's starting to wane a little bit. I mean, we were still working. And, you know, of course, we had to, you know, get do some stuff in Dallas and even in Louisiana sometimes we had to go to Baton Rouge a couple of times. But, you know, back then it was cool. It was still cool. It was a fun time back then, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, back in the day, music was different. You know, like I said, the technology wasn't there. If you wanted to hear a good band, you had to actually get up, go out to that club and hear these bands play live. It wasn't somebody could upload it on YouTube off their phone and all that back then. You had to actually go see that band live. And you know, a lot of people don't realize, man, that, and I'm quite sure it feels the same way with you, when the club is packed and they there for the music, to hear the band, it pumps the band up to have an even better show. I mean, we gonna play regardless because that's our talent, that's our gift, and if they booking us, that's our job. But when you get the support of the people to just come out to hear you play, you could be tired. That's a Red Bull shot right there. You feel the same way?
Yeah, you know. Bands feed off energy. You know, we give
exactly.
energy to the people, they bring energy to us, which you know, we give them more energy. So it's to me it's an energy type thing. And club owners always like that type of shit. So
exactly.
So,
now you play more than one instrument though.
Yeah, guitar is my main instrument. You know, I dibble dabble with everything else. I'm not really
exactly.
good at keys.
I said that to say this. You put out a CD a couple of years back. I still want to crack you inside the head because you know, a bunch of them in. And, you know, I told you, you sell out every week. But you did that entire project yourself and played all the instruments.
Yeah.
What inspired you to put that out? And tell the people the name of it and where they can get it.
For one thing, what inspired me to put it out was listening to the way Stevie Wonder did his music and the way Prince did his music. Now, I found out there are a few other multi-instrumentalists like Junie Morrison, and a couple of others that I can't name right off. But the name of the project was called the Myself Project. And like I said, the way Prince put out his music, that's what basically inspired, because he did everything on that album, his very first album. You know, but it was come to find out that he really didn't do everything on that first album. Found out Patrice Rushen played on it, but I found out Patrice Rushen played on his first record. She played on two cuts. She played the anyway. That's another thing, another story. The Myself project. I wanted to learn how to do everything because when I first started, you know, I was signed to a small label. His brother out of Dallas. Well, he was living in Austin at the time, and he was trying to get his label off. Get people to work on his label, and he really couldn't find anybody. So I thought I'd give him a chance. We'd work with each other. So, you know, I'd bring some songs in, and you know, we collab on some songs, and I play most of the instruments. But you know, of course, we had piano solos from different people, and Kyle was on it, and he did a lot of drum programming. And I did basically everything else. Of course, the foundation of the songs was me. Then the second project got bigger because we had Barry Jackson. He had a lot of other people on it. So he wanted to make it bigger. Biggest Sounding Production and all that, which is a great album. The Follow My Lead, the Bloom with the blue album cover with the woman on the back of me. Now that was still a good record. It was a bigger sounded record, you know. But that's what he wanted. I didn't matter. It didn't make me any. You know, I didn't mind which direction we was going. So you want a bigger? Okay. He said, well, we should go for bigger. We should, you know, that's what his idea was. Okay, no problem. I went with it. But, you know, that record didn't do anything. It just bigger production-wise. But I always told myself, on the next record, I wanted no inhibitions when it came down to writing. I wanted no inhibitions when it came down to arranging. I wanted no inhibitions when it came down to producing. Because I would always butt heads. I didn't like that. And sometimes that, you know, with that guy, we would always butt heads. We'd always come to disagreements about certain things, about certain phrases that I play, about a certain editing that he was doing. Even in mixing, we was mixing the record, we kind of had some issues. It wasn't really big issues, but I just didn't want any. I figured, like, I'm going to put everything else on my shoulders. I'm going to learn the technology. Now the technology has finally come that you can do, you can mix and master a record. I didn't have the room, you know, for the room for it. I didn't have the sound to actually do it, but it could still be done. If you have somewhat of an ear, if you can train your ears to hear certain things, if you can train your ear to hear certain frequencies. Now, when that came out, I still had to remaster it because I didn't like, because I got tired of the way I was hearing it, you know, in the masters. I went in and remastered. I didn't recut everything. I just went in and remixed it and remastered. So, you know, it's not something I do every day, but I just learned to get into the aspect of sound recording. You know, there are people that do it way better than I do.
Yeah, but you did a good job.
There are people that have way
much better equipment.
Yeah, there are people that have way much better equipment. It just goes to show that you don't have to go to no big old studio to do this. Now, what people do is they'll cut most of the stuff at home, and they'll take it to a studio to have it mixed because they don't have the ears or the equipment, you know, or the plugins to actually mix the record. So they'll take it to a big studio, but then again, you'll get that particular studio sound. What if you don't want that?
Exactly.
Basically, there are no right and wrong way to do this. I've read some stories. Because I watch a lot of YouTube, man. On how Prince cut his records, he would always go to the studio. He used to a studio called Sunset Sound in L.A. Now, just to cut those earlier records, you know, like Controversy and He didn't do Dirty Mind at Sunset Sound. He did that somewhere. He had a small studio. That's why it sounded like it sounded. Because he was out of budget. He didn't have the budget to really, you know. He used most of his budget money cutting his very first record. And he was then out of budget money after he cut the second record. So he just made him a small studio in Minneapolis and cut Dirty Mind there. That's why it sounded like it did. It sounded dirty. It sounded grungy. It sounded dirty. Still was a great album.
It did, but it was a damn good album, though.
It was a great album.
Really didn't care about all the production into it. It was just something,
right.
You know, just that dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. That Dirty Mind groove, man, but... I mean,
yeah.
Everything was hitting, you know, Sisters. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, everything can be played on the radio, but
no. It had an explicit lyric. It not had a parental advisory. It wasn't a parental advisory sticker like you see on records now, but it was a, like a explicit lyrics sticker on that album.
Yeah.
Your sister Kurt,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I remember one time, I don't know if you remember back in the day, every Sunday night, 102 would play an album in its entirety.
Yeah.
And they actually played it. They actually played it. They played it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Which tripped me out. They actually played Dirty Mind. You know, and I was like, whoa. Now here's something you would know more than I do. I played in a band back in the day during that time, 84, 85. And, of course, you had Purple Rain came out, but also Ice Cream Castle came out. So you had solo with Purple Rain, then you had solo with Jungle Love, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now.
Yeah, but that's not Prince, though.
That's not Prince, it's Jesse Jackson. I mean, not
Jesse Johnson.
Yeah, so I said that to say one of my partners that played guitar was saying, well, you know, Jesse came out his project the following year.
Right.
Now, he played a teller, right?
Yeah, it was a different company.
He didn't play a Strat.
Yeah. He played a Strat before, but I'm just talking about on that particular album cover, he had this company called Schecter that would make custom Telecasters.
Yeah.
For him.
Yeah.
And everything was
pink.
He was deep into the color pink.
Exactly. And this is how crazy my band was. Man, we would go to the different malls and the store like Oak Tree and Jeans West, we would go put them suits on. And we walked through there doing that scene, you know, after they did the bird, and they was walking through there, going down the hall back to the dressing room, and we put them suits on and walked through the store. Let's get crazy. Let's get us. And our little one security guards came up on us and told my little brothers, he said, I said, take the suit off right now. But everybody else had already changed. This fool still got the suit on. And he walked in the dressing room, and he going to come back out and tilt his head as a security guard to my, how's the family? Man, we almost went to jail that day. Man, he's stupid.
Oh, man.
But yeah, everybody was caught up back then. Man, we go to Evans Music Store, and, man, we would go in there and man, pull stuff off the rack, start playing. You know, they have a drum machine, and I'm over there playing beats on the drum machine. And, man, they eventually start kicking us out. You know, I met Rob Berry at the drum shop when it was on West Alabama, and they had just put maybe one or two keyboards in there. And that's when I met Rob. He was still with Heaven back then. You know, man, it was just good days, man. Good fun. And one time, man, believe it or not, the summer of 85, a guy came in there to pick up some equipment. And the dude, I mean, it was like last minute something. And they had it, and he reeked the cigarette smoke. I mean, reeked the stale cigarette smoke in. He saw us in there messing around, and he like, y'all band? We're like, yeah. He like, y'all want to follow me? And, man, we like, man, we don't know this white boy, man. That's enough of us. We probably can fight him, you know. And we followed this dude, man. He took us to the summit, so we sat through sound check, and there was a power station in Van Halen. We got to stay watch the concert backstage.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Dude, my ears rung for about 4 days. My ears rung for about 4 days. Because the whole ride, man, we going, came up West Alabama and came up the back way and Westland. And we like, man, dude, I'm telling you, like, run over him, man, hit him with the car, and then we just going to jump out swinging. I'm like, man, he might have a gun, knife. Man, when he pulled in, and we, man, I had no idea. So that was one of the coldest concerts, best that I've seen, because I was actually, we was backstage, and we got to see the sound check, everything, man. That was like summer '85, man. It was crazy, dude.
Power Station.
Yeah.
Van Halen.
Power Station open and Van Halen closed. And, man.
Wow.
That's why I hear people all the time say, well, they sold more records with Sammy Hagar. I don't care. They performed better with David Lee. He was killing it. The whole show.
85.
David Lee Roth. You know, everybody say Van Halen was a better.
It can't be 85. Yeah, 85. David Lee left in.
No, he left in 85. But they were on the tour. No, he left.
Okay.
Yeah, he left later in 85, like probably the fall or whatever. Because remember, he came out with his solo project, then he bounced. Yeah, so remember, because I just graduated.
Okay, it was, okay. Because I'm trying to figure out when Van Halen put out 5150, and that was maybe 86.
1984.
The album. Yeah, 84 tour. Panama
and all that, yeah.
Yeah, 84 tour.
Yeah, man, dude.
Well, I know they rock, man.
I know
they rock.
Man, when they was doing I Wait and all that, man, he was like, God, just the sound, man. I mean, hey, Eddie and Alex, you know, man, and this dude was smoking cigarettes like crazy. You know, sticking them in the neck of the X and just playing and then start cussing.
Yeah.
I mean, this was sound check. And we just standing back watching. You know, it was crazy. And, man, we matter of fact, I ran into one of them dudes, man. He had a cousin. You might know him. He was a guitar player. Man, Joe Hotbird. He played with Rob now. When they had that band Bachelor, his cousin Dooney played in the
band.
No, I don't know. Yeah, Joe Hotbird played guitar, man. Yeah, it was crazy, man. That was my highlight for that year. You know, I thought it was
going to
she finally agreed to go out with me to see Luther and Whitney Houston, but it wasn't. It was that concert. It was that concert, yeah.
That was from a different experience. That was not a concert to me. You take a chick to go see a rock concert.
Oh no, she wouldn't. She wouldn't have liked that. Yeah, she wouldn't have liked that. But it was crazy. And then just listening to the grooves that the Power Station was kicking with, man. You know, that made me a Robert Palmer fan for real. Just you know, I mean.
Well, you know the drummer of Power Station.
Played with Sheik.
Well, you know the drum, right, Tony Thompson.
Yeah, he passed away, Oh, man,
yeah,
he was doing on Bang of Gold. Oh, man, and Something Like It Hot, you know, Saw it all, man, you know. And I always said that was T in that doggone Jack Daniel bottle. Man, he had a bass player. There ain't nobody going to knock a bottle down like that and play a whole show. But good time, man, back then. You got a new project you're working on?
I'm working on a couple of things right now, man. You know, I can't get in discussion. But
thank you for fixing
trying to write.
My live CD, man. You polished it up to where I could go ahead and complete that project. So I guess, yeah, you got engineering credits on that one.
Well, I appreciate it.
You remember you did I tell people that. I said, Carrie co-produced my CD. And I got another one I'm getting ready to do. Everybody, y'all could have hit the button and gay care shout out or something if you wanted to. But I'm doing I got one coming out in 2022 called Serious as a Heart Attack. So I'm y'all get ready for that. It's gonna be good. It's gonna be real good. Tell the people where you're gonna be at, man, if they wanna come out and check you out.
Well, this week, man, if they wanna come out and see me, I will be with the Unit Band Tuesday at the D Bar. You play from 8:30 to 10:30. And Friday at the D Bar, we play from 8:45 to 10. Just one set. So we've got that happening. I got that happening this week. You know, after a super busy week of Saturday doing the
I didn't know about it, man. I didn't know about
it.
It kind of
snuck up on everybody because, you know, we didn't do it last year, and you know, because of COVID, and
that's right.
Now, you know, cases are going down and falling, and it starts to become a little bit, you know, safer to have outdoor shows. They decided to have it. It was a perfect weekend for it, man. You know, this weekend the weather was just like,
it was beautiful, man. Beautiful,
yeah, straight up.
I spoiled my dog. He walked a lot this weekend. So, yeah, the weather was beautiful. And I totally forgot about it, man.
Yeah. A lot of people did it.
Yeah.
But quite a few people did come out.
Yeah, then they had something at Discovery Green, too. It was live music all over, you know.
Okay.
You got to find it. Yeah, they jazz on Sundays there. I didn't know about that. So, you know.
Yeah, that was through the month of October.
Don't be mail, Donna. I forgot. I wasn't paying attention. But Donna going to be on the show this month, too. Tuesday is the night that I showcase musicians, but I know you work Tuesdays at D-Bar. The unit work,
yeah.
You know, man, hey, I got to get them on Monday. They couldn't give me a date, you know.
They didn't give me a date? I thought they confirmed me. Okay,
no.
Well, it's Monday it is. And what happened?
Nah, they messing with you about your birthday and never gave me the date. Everybody was picking on you about your birthday, and nobody gave me the date. So I got to do that because, you know, I'm going to do it on a Monday just because, you know, y'all my boys, you know.
I'm going to get on them, man, about, you know, we missed several shows. I wound up doing it solo, but... Yeah, you just have a fact on that.
You got your own project. So I said, let me showcase Kerry, but then I'm definitely going to bring the unit on. And I want everybody. I want you. I want JB. I want Eric. I want Cookie. You know, I don't care. I mean, O'Neill can come on. Everybody can come on.
Let me ask you a question, Brooke. Now, Blog Talk Radio, this actually a huge website. As long as you search you, because see, what I was trying to do is I was trying to have it come, the conversation that we're having, I was trying to have it come through my computer speakers. And I don't know how to search your show.
Well, it's blogtalkradio.com. /talk to Ezra. Talk the number 2 and then Ezra.
Oh, okay. Now see?
And it will come through. Oh, you could have probably hit the link on the Facebook page and it'll bring you right to it. But see, we actually in Blog Talk, they understand, you know, bigger and better things are getting ready to come anyway. So, you know, this is not my only podcast, Three Fools and a Pint, that I do with my boy Murphy and DTF, and we on Spotify. So check out some of our episodes.
Oh, y'all?
We're on Spotify.
So
yeah, Three Fools and a Pint is already on Spotify. This one getting ready to
go back.
Well, talk to Ezra. No, just go back to Blog Talk, I'll shoot you the link, and you can hear this show. Actually, it'll be ready, up and ready in probably about another hour, 45 minutes. But then the other show that I'm getting ready to bring out is going to Spotify, you know. That one, I'm on hands-on with the board and trying to really learn as much as I can, loading the music. I got to go clean up that, you know, that intro song. I got to clean that up, do some stuff. But, yeah, I said, man, you know, I asked my son, I was like, you know, you cool with Daddy Star back, you know, doing his thing. He just looked, you know, but I seen his eyes say, yeah, do that. So I'm like, man, I'm finna go get my things back in order as far as, you know, entertainment goes, man. I should have never got rid of the show back when I did, but life happens. But it was fun. So I said, this time when I come back, it ain't going to strictly be every night. I'm talking about issues and relationships and women. And I want to highlight the local musicians. You know, I want to highlight the local comedians, all that. And then we're going to just have a night where I free fall and we just act a fool. And, you know, and then I had already been working out getting three fools and a mic put together too. So that'll keep me busy. You know, that keep me busy. That's the name of the game. You know, stay busy, man. You stay eating. So that's it. So D Boy, do y'all do y'all do Thursday nights no more at Swagger?
No, we don't do that no more.
Oh, okay, I didn't know.
No, not the unit. So, not the unit.
Okay.
Not the unit. What I've been doing is I've done. Last Thursday night, well, this past Thursday night, I done it with Ty, you know, Colin.
Oh, yeah, I heard of that guy.
Yeah,
the
Colin.
The same light-skinned guy?
Right. I done it last Thursday with him there. And I'm also doing the 11th there with him. So I told him I'm just going to pick and choose the Thursdays. That's Swagger. So I told him I'm just going to pick and choose the Thursdays because I'm not. He wants me to do it because they're doing it every other Thursday. But, you know, of course, I got to leave, you know, some Thursdays open. So I pick and choose my Thursdays to do over there with him.
Man, you know what? Susan hit me up the other day. I got to get you back over there too, man. So let me
who?
Know about the November 22nd. Susan and Emmett. You know, I'm going to do my birthday deal this year. So, last year.
Oh, for real? Oh, that's...
Yeah.
When is your birthday? I forgot what birthday.
It's
I know your birthday is late November.
Yes, the 21st,
okay.
But Mark Denny will be there on the 21st. So,
okay.
As a matter of fact, he coming on the show, too. Mark Denny will be there
on the 21st.
So, this
will be your birthday?
I'm going to do it on Monday night, on the 22nd. On the 22nd, I'm going to do it. So, yeah, man, come on out, dude. I'm going to probably ask Sharonda back out there on the grill and just having fun, man. I need to get out, man. I've been tied down for months, man, so I just want to have fun. I saw Mark. He was there because she's not open yet, but she getting ready to reopen. But he wanted to just let loose and do something last month, and it was
Mark,
you know, the Strohs, Mark Denny group. It was a great show, man. Yeah, it was a great show, man. So, yeah, the crowd wasn't there because of the Astros. But, man, it was still a killer show, man.
It's kind of hard to do. Well, the season's going to be over with. And hope they win tomorrow, man.
They gonna win tomorrow. We gotta think positive. They gonna win tomorrow.
You gotta think. Please give it to me, man. Give me some of that positive energy, man.
I told my boy last night. I said, watch the sixth. I said, watch what happened in the sixth inning. I said, the pitching gonna change. The bat's gonna crack. And he's like, I hope you're right. So I say, did I call it? He's like, yeah, man. I just felt it. I'm like, they ain't tonight, man. And then the weather going to be warmer tomorrow. So in this do or die, I think they're going to come out clowning. The pitching just got to, you know, sustain us until the bats start cracking. And you know, Alvarez got to wake up, man. We need a Boston game out of him. This going to work.
For real, because
don't care. Man, I really appreciate you coming in tonight. Man, if you got a YouTube channel, man, y'all subscribe. You got a YouTube channel, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I do. I rarely check it, but I do. Because other stuff with folks on there. And I got a lot of my music is on the channel, too. So, yeah.
That's why I say y'all go subscribe it, check it out, listen to it. What's your favorite cut on the Myself Project?
My favorite cut?
Yeah. What's your say?
It's called I'm Out.
I'm Out?
Song called I'm
that
Out.
One got
That's my
so,
favorite cut.
Yeah, it's got so many. It's got a lot of variations in there, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
That ain't my favorite. Mine is Saturday.
So yours,
I don't know why.
I think I know what yours is. Yeah.
Yeah, when I'm riding, bro, I'm telling you, I'd have been rolling in from one of them nights. And, yeah, that's my jam. All of them are excellent. You know, all of them are excellent. But that's my absolute favorite, you know. And then when you do your acoustic work, that one, too. That one too, but yeah, that's my favorite on the project. But I used to sit in my office and he's like, "What are you listening to?" And it's right here. Hey, I had to get him, man. Give me some copies, so y'all.
Yeah, man. Do you? I got to ask you this, man. Do you miss that dealership?
Hell,
used to be
no. Hell nah. And you know, and I tell that story, man. I got divorced and, you know, I wanted custody of my son and couldn't get him. And mama, you know, I'm stand-up comedy, man. I'm traveling, doing things. So in order to get him, I had to be stable and you know, with a long gap in your work history because, you know, I'm self-employed and stand-up comic now trying to go in the workforce. Nobody would hire me. So I finally got on at this one company in the electric industry because that was my background. And I lied and told them, oh, man, I'm a homemaker and the kids are old enough now and they in school and I can go work now, you know. And I lied. And I'm behind the counter one day. And this white guy walked in. Whoa, funny man. Oh, shoot, you guys seen this dude? Oh, he's fucking hilarious. Man. And I'm looking at him kind of like, thank you, but shut your ass up, man. So, man, one day my son said, Dad, there's somebody staring at you. And I turned around and looked, and the branch manager was passing down my street. Of course, he knew my address with him. But he decided to come say, oh, man, he live in a house like this. And I got fired 2 weeks later. So the only thing I could do was I landed a job in the car business. And by me being able to make people laugh, I would calm them down when they apprehensive, you know. Yeah, how can I have, oh, we're just looking. Gone, I've seen them all anyway. And then they're like, what the fuck did he just say? And then eventually we break the ice, and I'd have them laughing. But it wasn't dealing with the customers that was the headache. It was dealing with the management. The managers always wanting to suck some extra out of people. You know, I done already met you, you know, agreed to this, that, and other with you. And then that's what I want you to do. Go back out there and get another $1,000 out of them. You can do it, you know. He's your friend, huh? So, like, when you got yours, me and my boy, you know, we shut management out. Hey, man, this my dude. This already done deal. Boom, boom. You remember they had a little flower with the car, put you in a rental car to the red. Nah, man, we don't play that. But that's a fight every day with management. Me not knowing. You know, you see me, come time, you be like, man, go home. Whatever. You sick? And I be coughing and. can't breathe and blaming it on the club, thinking it's the dirty furniture in there or whatever. And had no idea, you know, heart about to blow up. So, and then going to work fighting every day with them people. So I miss helping people, and I still help people that call me, but I don't miss the day-to-day getting ready to go fight greedy managers. And I said I was going to put a YouTube page together to help people, you know, beat greedy managers like that that's trying to bleed you for nothing, man, and, you know, make salesmen look bad, you know. Make honest salespeople look bad. I still might do that, you know. I got a lot of things to do, but hell no, I don't miss that shit. Now I get up on a Saturday, man. I'm up on a Saturday. I know that Saturday belongs to me, you know. Me, you know, I'm gonna go spend it with my son or whatever. Because I can tell you now, if I was still in the car business, they'd have fired me or locked me up by now. Because, you know, my son come first, you know, and life come first. There's nobody just beat you down. And, you know, man, when I went in the hospital, only one guy came to see me, and that was the dude. He was the one that actually found me on the ground. And later on, another salesman found out about it and showed up with a big thing of fruit and everything, but and my manager that helped me do the deal with you, he came at least 3 days a week. And the rest of them, man, you didn't exist no more. So they taught me something in life. People can use you for all they can, and then when they can't get nothing out of you, you don't mean nothing to them. You know, but those that reached out to me, man, I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. So now, hell no, I'm in that damn place, so... Yeah. When you ready again, you all that, man. I'll get you hooked up, but your car gonna last for a minute.
I just went and got that oil change today. I just topped I'm at 102,000 miles now. So
I say, yeah, you doing good for being a traveling musician. You know?
Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah, that was an experience, boy. Kerry came in there and he was nervous. I'm like, bro, I got you. You going to come out of this good. I got you. Man, shoot. I don't know about me a cancer. Nah, bro, I got you. You travel too much, man. You need something good. You need something solid, stable. Got you, man. You good. And remember, I had a camera at the time, too. So, you know, I had one, too, that I had to confiscate from my daughter. And she got another one now. She got another one now.
Cameron?
She's had it for years now. Yeah, she got another one now. So, yeah, it's, you know, they good cars, man. They gonna last. Bro, I appreciate you coming in, man. They blinking, man. You know, we already...
Oh, yeah, no problem, man. It was fun, man.
We didn't stop taking live, but... Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. People don't know if I talk to Ezra, but I'm coming back. And, like, say, Mondays be our free fall. You know, my beautiful baby mama, she'll be on one Monday. We're going to do a little something talking about cancer survivors and stuff. And then Tuesdays, like I say, I highlight musicians. I want to give people the opportunity to know who's playing in town, where they playing, what they doing. And same with comedians, man. I want to bring them in. You know, it's time to get busy. Like Chatterbox said, let's go to work. Appreciate you, brother. Love you, man. I got to get out one day, man, to come see y'all at D-Bar, man. I'm going to do that. You still rolling Doppelganger, too, right?
Yeah. We still rolling, brother.
Yeah.
We still kicking.
I saw, matter
you know,
fact,
we don't, I don't.
George. George was playing with Mark Dini, man. When
yeah,
he was at
yeah, a lot of
George
times
was playing.
Plays with Mark Dini.
Yeah, George was playing bass with him. So,
yeah.
All right, well, get on the fellas, man. Tell them, man, give me a Monday so we can go and get this done.
I will do that, brother.
And you, you can go back and check this in about an hour, man. You be ready. We ready to roll.
Cool. Cool, I'll do that, man.
All right, how about you, bro?
Brother,
love you, man.
You take care.
All right, y'all, we out here. We done.